Good to see you. Is this microphone on? It is, yes. I'm going to stand on this side for a change, so you don't get you too used to me being in one position. It's a bit of a tightrope walk up here this morning. I'm sure some of you would love me to fall into that pool, but we'll try not to make that kind of impact before we need to at the end of our service. Great to see you this morning, and lovely to have Intrepid in with us this morning and our YPs and Qs, and it's lovely because many of you have sort of shared in Simon's journey. And we're going to come and look at Luke 15 this morning. So there's a Bible in front of you that Matt's just read from. Turn to Luke chapter 15, all of you, if you can, because this is a story which we're going to look at together this morning. And it's very helpful to have this in front of you because you can check it out and see if what I'm saying is actually written in it. That's a good way to work out what we're saying. But I'm sure some of you, can I have the projector, Ginia, please? Some of you have probably seen this movie that's about to pop up on the screen, The Impossible. Any of you seen this? Oh, okay, well, I've seen it, okay. That's good, at least I've seen it. This is a story which is based around the tsunami in 2004. It's based on a true story of a family who were separated when this huge wave hit the coast of Thailand, where they were on holidays. And the whole story, see, you've not seen the film, I'm going to spoil the ending for you anyway, is about how the family gets completely separated. And it's an amazing film. You might just be able to see the pile of water coming over the shacks here, but in terms of the impression of what the tsunami looks like, it really captures the enormous event that took place. But in this family story, you see something of the pain. They get split up when this wave comes. And you get to see some of the pain that takes place when families are broken apart like this. And the whole story really is about how this family actually find their way back together again. But the pain of the broken relationships in this family as they get separated and they don't know where anybody else is clear for all to see. And we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 15 this morning because Jesus told a story which is very similar in a sense. It wasn't a story about a tsunami, but it is a story about families that get separated. It's a story about a family of a boy, a son, who deliberately makes the decision to head out of home. He's going to leave home and he's going to just turn his back on his family and on his father. Now, Luke chapter 15, if you've got it open in front of you, you will see it's all about a series of stories about being lost and found. And we're just looking at the last of those stories this morning. We're looking at the story of the lost and found son, which comes at the end of this chapter. It really is a quite remarkable story. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of getting lost. I can remember a story really from probably when I was about 6 or 7 years old. I've got this sort of ability to remember the most random events in my life sometimes. But we were on holidays, and I remember coming to London for the first time and being separated from my parents as we came out of a tube station. And I can, even as I'm telling you the story now, I can remember what that actually felt like. That rising sense of panic that the people I most associated in my life with security and safety, I was separated from them. And it seemed like forever that I couldn't find out where they were. I'm sure it only lasted a few minutes before my dad sort of put his hand on my shoulder and sort of grabbed me. But that sense of being separated is sort of what's going on in this passage that we're looking at this morning, Luke chapter 15. And I want to pick up this theme of lost and found in one of the most powerful stories which Jesus told throughout the course of his ministry. In fact, it's such a powerful story that I've got a picture in my office that looks a little bit like this. Some of you will have seen this if you've been in my office. It's there to remind me of this story. It's there because it's a very powerful story of the father in this story throwing his arms around his wayward son and just simply saying to him, as we're going to see in this story this morning, I love you. It's a story which reminds me, and I say this often, don't I, when I stand at the front, you know what, there's nothing that you or I can do to make God love us any more or any less. And that picture in my office reminds me of the deep truth of the Christian faith when it comes to the love that God has for us. So I'm going to take a closer look at this story with you this morning. Many of us know it well, don't we? And the problem is, when we know something well, we think we're familiar with it, and it sort of passes us by. But you might be surprised to know that there are a number of phrases that come out of this story that actually have crept into everyday life. Have you ever heard people talking about the phrase of killing the fatted calf? Maybe it's not a phrase you use here in Orpington or in Crofton, but it's certainly a phrase we use in Ireland, maybe because we're a bit more rural over there. But we talk about killing the fatted calf and we want to describe that we're going to have a feast or a celebration. I've got a very dear family who are like a second family to me in Dublin. And whenever I go home, I always get this little email. Great, we're delighted that you're coming. The fatted calf will be killed. and it's a slap-up meal. They never, ever cease to disappoint me. But this story that we're looking at this morning is not really about fatted calves and just about celebrating meals. It's actually about something a lot more significant. Jesus is telling this story, if you've got a Bible open in front of you this morning, in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. He's telling this story to two very different groups of people. And it's a story which in some ways picks up Simon's story this morning. That's why I've chosen to speak on it this morning. There are two very different groups of people at the beginning of Luke 15. There are the group of people which are referred to here as the tax collectors and the sinners. That sounds like a kind of serious bunch of people, but it was a way of describing people who just knew they hadn't got it all together. That's the best way I can put it. And they were deeply attracted to the teaching of Jesus. And he was drawing people like that to him all the time, because that's what Jesus did. And then there's the other group of people in verse 2 here, and they're described as the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the people who kept the law. And they didn't like Jesus. You can see what it says here. I think it's in verse 2. It says they're muttering. And they're saying, this man welcomes sinners and he eats with them. And in Middle Eastern culture, to eat with someone and to share a meal with someone is a sign that you accept them and that you love them, that you embrace them. So they were muttering because they didn't like what Jesus was doing. And as this story unfolds, Jesus wants us to understand some really important things about who God is. And there are two really important things that he wants to teach us about God. And then there are two really important things that he wants to teach us about ourselves. And in this story, the Father is being described by Jesus to help us understand who God is. So when you look at the Father figure in this story, Jesus is saying, this is what God is like. It's one of the reasons why I love this story. Here's the first thing that we'll discover about God this morning. First thing I want you to notice as you look at this story is that God allows people like you and me to make our own decisions. Now just look at how this story starts. If you've got it in front of you this morning, there's a man who had two sons, says Jesus in verse 11, and the younger one said to his father, give me my share of the estate. Dad, he says, give me my share of the estate. Now that sort of pushes over our heads sometimes in today's society. But you know, in Middle Eastern society, if you went to your dad and said, hey, Dad, I want you to give me my share of my inheritance, and I want you to give it to me now, it would be like saying to your dad, you know what, Dad, I wish you were dead. That's what it would be like saying. It would be saying, look, I can't wait for you to die, so actually, I want your stuff, and I want it now. And sometimes when we hear this story today, it doesn't sort of hit us in the same way. But as Jesus told that story, I'm pretty sure that as people heard this story being told, they gasped at this point. Because you didn't do that in the kind of society that Jesus lived in. It threatened to rip not just your family apart if you came up with a request like that, but actually threatened to pull your community apart as well. You didn't go to your dad in Middle Eastern culture with that kind of request. Because if you did, what you would expect to receive, that sounds a bit harsh in today's society, would be a slap across the face and to be expelled from your family. You see, that story is lost on us a little bit, isn't it? Until we understand what would have happened in Jesus' day. Now, that's what the son would have expected, and that's what people who are hearing this story would have expected to hear. But what does Jesus say in this story?